Church, that brings us all the way up to our eighth and final objective. We must be righteous in our relationships. We must be righteous in our relationships. The subtitle for tonight's message is Righteous Relationships. Righteous Relationships. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. This is our final objective, and it really ties in everything else we have learned about righteousness. Church, if we are going to live as Christians ought, we must be righteous in our relationships. What is a relationship? A relationship is how we are connected to or involved with others. A relationship is how we are connected to or involved with others. Relationship is how we deal with or behave towards others. How we deal with and behave towards others. Church, we must be righteous in how we deal with other people. We must be righteous in how we behave toward other people. And this is challenging because we have all kinds of relationships. See, we have familial relationships. We have parent-child relationships, and some of us are at both ends of that relationship. We are the parent and we are the child. We have sibling relationships. We have husband-wife relationships. So we have familial relationships. We have work relationships. The relationship that we have with our employer, or if we are the employer, with our employee. The relationship we have with our coworkers. We have all types of relationships. We have friend relationships, relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ, relationships with our peers and with our authority. We have all kinds of relationships, and every type of relationship that we are in poses its own unique challenges because we are relating with different people. And yet, as a Christian, I must strive to be righteous in all of my dealings with others. Righteousness in our relationships is essential. And the reason it's essential is because the only way that we as a church are going to bring restoration to our family, to the people we know and love, is by establishing and maintaining proper relationships. That's the only way we're going to bring restoration. See, community outreach is good. It's necessary. It serves a very important purpose in the life of the church. Advertising for the church, that's wonderful. That's good. It's necessary. It does something important in the life of the church. But those things are not nearly good enough. Those things are not enough. They're important. They're essential, but they are not enough. Not in the times that we live in. And church, that's hard to hear because those things are much easier for us to do. You know, doing those things is not messy, doesn't take up a lot of time. But establishing and maintaining proper relationships, that's hard. First, it's a lot of work because to establish a good relationship, it requires time, effort, and consistency, when really we just want to be left alone. Isn't that true? When you get home from work, you just want to be left alone. After you have a hard day, you just want to be left alone. Only a few people want to be left alone. All the rest of us just really want to be bothered. Amen. We want to be left alone. And then it's just hard to act right with the people that you know. It's hard because you know them. And they know you. And the very people in our life that are the hardest to deal with are the people who need the restoration most. You know, it's that relative. Every time you see them, you try to get yourself together. Okay. First thing out of their mouth, you still up at that church? Before you know it, you arguing, you yelling, you screaming at the top of your lungs. I never do this again. I found myself screaming again. That is the person who needs restoration the most. And in the times we live in, that is so important. Personal involvement is what needs to happen. Because people today are being exposed to so much garbage and so many things that draw them away. And so in the time that we live in, casual conversation is not enough for people. Because people are in confusion. If you stop and talk to a person who does not know the Lord, they are confused. Church, people are confused. They are talking gibberish. They are talking nonsense. Why? Because they are submersed in a babbling culture, a culture that just talks a bunch of garbage. It doesn't make any sense. People are confused. So how do you reach people who are that off course? The only way to reach people who are that off course, first, they have to know that you love them. They have to know that you have their best interests at heart. They have to know that you are a person of character and integrity. Even if they don't like what you say, even if every time they open their mouth, they are challenging you, they need to know that you are a person of character and integrity. In other words, I can be trusted. And that's important because that's the type of person that they will hear. They can hear so that they can be drawn out of confusion. Church, the primary way that we let people know that we care, that we love them, that we have character, integrity, it's how we relate to them, how we deal with them. Relationships are important. So we're going to cover this final objective in three parts. To be righteous in our relationships, we must do three things. We must define, we must assess, and then we must fix. We must define. What is it that we must define? We must define what a righteous relationship is. That's what we're going to do tonight. We must define what a righteous relationship is. Then we must assess our current relationships. That's what we're going to do next week. We're going to assess our current relationships. And then finally, we will finish this objective by learning how to fix the relationships that need fixing. Church, we need to fix some relationships in our life. There are some people for all of us that we just are not able to witness to because our relationship with them is damaged. We didn't consider the impact of our behavior on them. Now they can't receive from us. So now we have to fix some relationships. But for tonight, we're going to start with the first objective or part of the objective. We're going to define what a righteous relationship is. What is a righteous relationship? Well, let me tell you first what it is not. Mm-hmm. Having righteous relationships doesn't mean making everyone happy. Amen. Having righteous relationships doesn't mean making everyone happy. It's not compromising who we are to please others. And that's important because too often I see Christians getting into compromised situations in their relationships with others. And they say, well, I was just trying to be a Christian. I was just trying to do something nice. But being righteous doesn't mean we compromise who we are to please others. Sometimes you have to take a righteous position, and it's going to make someone unhappy. Amen. Righteous relationships doesn't mean that everyone is happy. Having a righteous relationship doesn't mean always getting my way. See, that's the flip side. doesn't mean that I will always get my way, and it does not mean controlling others. We have to get that down on the inside, because we try so hard to control others. And we do it feeling like it's for a good reason. I'm just trying to help you. Just trying to improve your life. But righteousness in our relationships does not mean that we control others. We can't control anyone else. So what is a righteous relationship? I establish a righteous relationship when I relate to others according to God's word. I establish a righteous relationship when I relate to others according to God's word. I maintain righteous relationships when I consistently apply God's word to the challenges and issues of the relationship. I maintain a righteous relationship when I consistently apply God's word to the challenges and issues of the relationship. So I must establish a righteous relationship through the word of God. I maintain a righteous relationship by applying God's word to the challenges and issues of the relationship. Church, we have a responsibility to relate to others according to God's word. Our behavior toward others must be based on the word of God, not based on our feelings, not based on our opinion, not based on our attitude that needs to be corrected. It must be based on God's word. And being right in my relationships with others is part of my walk. It's part of my walk. See, we don't get to have two tracks in life. Because sometimes as Christians, we act that way. In other words, I have my Christian track. This is what I do as a Christian. You know, I go to church, and I read my Bible, and I have my devotional time, and I pray, play my praise music in the car, and I have my bumper stickers, and I say, praise the Lord, and God bless you. So that's that track. But over here is how I deal with the people in my life. We don't get to have two tracks. How we deal with people is a part of our walk. Who I am as a Christian is displayed by how I deal with others. Who I am as a Christian is displayed by how I deal with others. In other words, how I handle my relationships is an indication of where I am in my walk. If I am not walking in spiritual maturity, I'm not handling my relationships well. If I'm able to handle my relationships the way that I need to handle them, not talking about the other person, not talking about how they respond, but how I need to handle them. If I handle my relationships the way I need to, that means that I have a maturity to my walk. And the other person's response really does not change the standard. I have a responsibility to follow the standard that God has laid out for me. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read one verse, the first verse. But before we read that verse, let me explain what has happened all the way through the book of Ephesians. Chapters 1 and 2, Paul starts talking to the church, and he reminds the church of who they are and what God has done for them, how he saved them by grace. In chapter 3, Paul then assures them as Gentile Christians that they are now part of the family of God. Then Paul moves into chapter 4 and begins to instruct the church on how to live righteously. He says, walk worthy of the life that God has called you to. That's what you must do. See